Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. He was born Russell Jones, but he was best known as Old Dirty Bastard, or ODB, of the great and innovative hip-hop group Wu-Tang Clan, which had its big run in the 1990s with songs like Protect Your Neck.
The old dirty bastard, straight from the Brooklyn Zoo, and I'll be damned if I let any man come to my center, you enter the winter.
So that's ODB, who is known for his talent as a freestyling rhymer and rapper, as well as for his offstage antics. He once rode a limousine to pick up his welfare check. He lifted a burning car off a four-year-old girl in Brooklyn, then stormed the stage at the Grammys as Sean Colvin was giving her acceptance speech. He was shot, spent time in jail, and in 2004, at the age of 35, while attempting a musical comeback, he dropped dead of a drug overdose. Among those who knew ODB best was his hype man, the rapper and DJ Buddha Monk, who grew up with him in Brooklyn and who now lives in Worcester. And he's co-written a biography of his late friend and collaborator called Old Dirty Bastard, The Dirty Version. And Buddha Monk is with us now. Welcome to Radio Boston. It's a great pleasure to meet you and to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you want to write this book?
It was more the questions I was being asked all overseas. After Dirty passed, I went to Europe for a while. And people would always ask, hey, what was it like with Dirty off stage, on the stage, in the streets, you know? So I was like, you know, instead of just keep saying it and doing it, I'd rather just put it all in a book.
So tell us a little bit about your relationship with Dirty. First of all, you knew him. You first met him in Brooklyn when you were 12 years old. So who was Russell Jones back then?
Russell Jones was a guy who loved to listen to all types of music, but never wanted to be in the music business, really. He would love singing with the family, you know, singing and dancing, and always loved when the family came together, had dinners and cooked out and stuff like that. He was just a calm guy back in the days when he was young. All of us were.
So who did he become? I mean, how would you describe who Old Dirty Bastard was?
At first, when we started rapping, well, when he was rapping, I didn't get it until he brought the record to me, Protect Your Neck. And I heard his verse, and I remember him saying what he said when he was younger.
And what was that? What did he say when he was younger?
He was just like, you know, look, I'm going to be rapping and singing, and I'm going to do a combination, and nobody's going to think that it's not going to work and everything, and I'm going to master my style. But right now, just want to have fun with it. And like every time I see somebody in the streets and rapping or something, I'm going to step into cyphers and rap with them and see what it's like.
He was known for having a sort of unique approach to rap. He grunted, he slurred, he sang. So let's just listen to one example. This is from the song The Mystery of Chess Boxing off Wu-Tang's debut album, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers.
Here I go, deep tight flow. Jack, you stole, can never get this. No, I'm Terry Bomb and Slish. Boom, that's warming up a little bit. Rapping in is what's happening. Keep the pockets stacking in, hands clapping in. At the party when I move my body. Gotta get up and be somebody. Grab the microphone, put strength to the bone. Dan, 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 into the Wu-Tang zone.
All right. Nice to see you moving like that.
Well,
and still feeling the music in a big way.
I have to perform it on stage. So I still perform it and it's still played everywhere.
So how would you describe Dirty's style?
I think for every great artist that comes out and gets the attention of the masses, there's an element that they like, especially about that artist and that particular artist, and they don't want to see nobody else try to ever copy it or imitate it in any kind of way. That's what Dirty is.
So he was unique, it sounds like you're saying.
Oh, no father to his style.
No one can get it live. My people's, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on attack.
Well, another thing Dirty was known for was ad-libbing. He did a lot of this in particular on his 1995 debut solo album, Return to the 36 Chambers.
Ooh.
So let's listen to a bit of that. Here's the introduction to a song called Going Down.
Remember when you used to say, who could do this alone?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, the word that comes to mind listening to this is almost a kind of freedom. He seems to really take this very free, do what you want sort of approach. Right. How would you describe it?
This was Old English 800. No, I'm being real.
Say more about that.
The Old English, it was the Old English 800. It was like, we would go in the studios in Chung King and we would turn down the lights, drag a couple of 40s, and, you know, we would make stuff up.
Yeah.
And so we would sit there for a minute and just keep thinking like, hey, try this. Go in there and try that. No, take that part out. Put this in. Maybe we can get that to work.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of that came about. That's right. Some of that stuff didn't even come about because he wasn't even in the studio. I had to invent it and then let him do it.
When you say he wasn't in the studio, what do you mean?
He was at the hotel, chilling with women, and I would be stuck with all the equipment and everything, doing all the dirty work.
Well, let me ask you about that because...
Dirty bastard.
I want to ask you about Dirty Bastard and about your relationship with him. Here's what your co-author, Mickey Hess, he's an English professor at Rider University, wrote in the introduction to your book. He said, by Dirty's side throughout all of these trials and tribulations was his friend, the producer and rapper Buddha Monk.
Yeah.
Buddha toured the world with Dirty and the Wu-Tang Clan. He stood next to Dirty on his first appearance on Yo! MTV Raps in 1995, and he performed with Dirty in his final onstage appearance with Wu-Tang Clan. Along the way, responsibility fell to Buddha to get Dirty to the studio, to the video shoot, and to the show. When Wu-Tang needed to know where Dirty was, they called Buddha.
Right.
But why did you remain feel so loyal to Dirty, despite all the hoops that he made you jump through?
He was my everything. He created me in many ways. Like, he was a real big impact on my life, having to change to a different direction on being something more big than just paying bills.
I want to ask you about Dirty the Performer, because you write this in the book. You've seen rock bands smashing guitars. Dirty was the hip-hop version of that.
Oh, yeah.
So what was he like on stage?
One time we went to Germany with Eva Reeds, and there was just thousands of kids out there. But this night, of all nights, the whole AC system just stopped. So Dirty was like, hey, look, we got to do something. I'm not canceling this show and I'm not disappointing my audience. Look, this is what y'all do. While I get on stage and start performing, y'all go get like 25 buckets of cold water with ice and towels and drop the towels in there. And well, as we were performing, it was like he picked up a guitar, but in all reality, he picked up a cold towel and kept throwing the towels out to the kids so they could stay wet while he continued to keep performing for them. I've seen times where people was DJing, and one time he turned over the whole turntables. You know, it's just rock band people do that. Like, you know.
That's what they do.
Oh, this guitar's not working. They'll stick the guitar right into the speaker, you know, the monitor. Dirty was all that. He'll stand on the monitors. He'll kick the monitor over. Somebody look tired in the audience. He'll take one of the monitors off, unplug it, and give it to them to sit down and finish watching the show.
So, you
know, that's just him.
So, you know, it occurs to me to say that Dirty was an eccentric might be an understatement. Talk to me a little bit, though, about these antics that we mentioned in the introduction. Picking up a welfare check in a limousine, stealing a pair of shoes when he had hundreds of dollars of cash on him. Some people wondered, was it calculated? Did he do it on purpose?
Nah, Dirty's spontaneous. You never know what's going to happen next. One minute you think we're sitting right here and we're about to go home, he will throw the car and park and just go across the street and sit on the floor for a few minutes and just say, hey, I'm old Dirty Bastard, help me up. This is what I feel like doing today. Y'all got to be ready for me. If you ain't ready for me, then you ain't ready for the world.
Sounds like he lived in the moment.
Yeah, always. That's every artist.
I grab the mic and I'll damage ya. Crush your whole stamina. Here comes the medical examiner. One burst in your op with a count. Really ammonia. Make sure he did the right amount. Wake him up and then ask him. Why did he attend this? Competition to get a ass kicking so tremendous. Boy, you know you shouldn't bother this. Leave me alone like the sunset, G, or he'll be fatherless. I got the Asiatic folk mixed with disco. Roll up on the scene like the Count of Monte Cristo.
Another thing that your co-author wrote, Mickey Hess, in the introduction, he wrote that Dirty's personality was so big that it came to overshadow his music. Do you agree with that?
No. That's a lot of things that I've been having problems with that and the paranoia situation. They would like to say he's paranoid and everything was overwhelming to him, but it never was for Dirty. Dirty was always level-headed about what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it, and when he wanted to do it. There was never paranoia. There was fear of his life, because here I am, I'm a multi-time millionaire for making records, and police are shooting at me at a light, and I didn't even do nothing.
Right.
I've been shot twice. I didn't do nothing to these people who shot at me.
Right. So he wasn't paranoid. He had reason to be afraid.
He had reason. Yeah. And no matter how many times people wrote that about him being shot and everything, they turned it to him being paranoid. You can't be paranoid from that. You got to put on a vest or something. I teach the truth to the youth. I say, hey, youth,
here's the truth. Better start wearing bulletproof. Arm yourself with a shield. So that's one of the myths. What are some of the other myths about ODB that you hope to put to rest with this book?
This book was basically made to understand what was he like in his everyday life. Not that there were so many problems and sure. Not that drugs had anything in his basic fundamentals life to deal with any of that right there, because that wasn't the case. You know, he was just a straight outgoing, gifted, caring, loving guy. He was more for the people of the world than himself. It's things like that that's overread or not being told.
Yeah.
So you get to hear it first from me.
Well, as you mentioned, you know, his death, it came so early. He was only 35 years old, died in a Manhattan recording studio while he was working on a comeback album. What's his legacy? What is Old Dirty Bastard's legacy?
To rap till you're 70 years old. Never let your people down. And please keep giving people music that they can understand and let their children hear. Not just something that you could put out to make a dollar. Dirty was never about the dollar. He was about creativity. He was about the art and fashion and style of music, that everybody is a great artist in their own way. But if you're going to bring something to the table, give it your best. Don't just give it enough to make a dollar off it. Ooh, baby, I like it, boy. Yeah, baby, I like it, boy. Yeah, man, it's my song. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah.
Give me the mic so I can take it away. Buddha Monk is a rapper, DJ, and the former hype man and friend of Old Dirty Bastard. He's co-authored a biography of him titled Old Dirty Bastard, the Dirty Version. A lot more information at RadioBoston.org. Buddha Monk, such a pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Drop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick, cement to the ground. For an EMC
in any 52 states, I get psycho, killer, Norman Bain, my producer. And we'll end today with Shimmy Shimmy Ya from Old Dirty's debut solo album, Return to the 36 Chambers.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. So I could take it away. Or for the natural charge, born for yards. Yeah, from the home of the-